Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Andy Shea. Andy, how are we doing today?
I'm doing really good, Jim. How are you?
I am good also. We're inching closer and closer to football season, Andy. We are past the midway mark in July. Can you believe that?
Was it? Camp's just around the corner, right? Like NFL camps are getting ready to start. That's football 1.0. And then for college football fans, 2 weeks later, once you start camp, it's football season. That's just my opinion. I don't know how many people think that way, but when they start camp, it's football season.
It is. And we'll start getting more and more news leaking out. We'll get more press conferences, media exposure. I think the Big Ten Media Day is coming up. Media days are coming up next week. It's a lot going on, Andy, and we're looking forward to it. But here's another sign. We get the announcement not only of the whiteout, but the other themed games through the season. And, it's funny. The whiteout, there wasn't this year the natural, obvious game. You know, we used to have Michigan or Ohio State year after year. The last couple of years, we've seen some different things. We've seen Auburn. We've seen Minnesota. We've seen Iowa. So this year, the debate, it seemed to come down to, do you do Ohio State in November for a noon game? At least the majority of people, I think, were saying, no, it can't be a noon game. It's got to be a night game, which led a lot of people to talk about Illinois in September, which had already been announced it would either be a late afternoon or night game. UCLA in early October was the other option. Lo and behold, no one had talked about it. They went with Washington on November 9th, where it's a CBS game. It will be either 3:30 or CBS has the possibility they could, it's called flex it to an evening game. Andy, did they get it right?
So did they get it right? I don't know, Jimmy. Here, so I'm Penn State fans confuse me sometimes. Like, I get that there was a run, you know, that ended like 4 years ago where it was either Ohio State or Michigan was the whiteout game. And this year, is it the opponent or is it the start time of the game, Penn State fans? I don't know. Looking at the schedule and the dates and the way everything's set up this year, if it's an opponent, it's Ohio State. That's a done deal in my opinion. There's not even any debate on that. But apparently there is a what time of day is it? And I get it. The night thing is, you know, or later in the day. That does add a little bit more to it. But is an opponent like Minnesota, is an opponent like Iowa, and a guaranteed night game more important than a really big game like Ohio State, just particularly this year? But looking at the schedule, I mean, Illinois, I mean, come on. Yeah, no, that was a no. I mean, that has to be a no. A, opponent. B, it's early in the year, so it'd have to be, you know, one of the seven or, you know, one of the after 7 p.m. games type. It sort of feels like Washington is the whiteout game sort of by default because it wasn't going to be the Ohio State because the Ohio State game's at noon. So it was like, well, it's not going to be that game because they're not going to be, we have to play at noon and we don't want it to be at noon, so it can't be Ohio State. Well, then it's like, what's left? And if you look at the way their schedule's set up, it was Washington. So did they get it right? If Penn State was listening to what its fans were saying, which can be a confusing message at times, did they get it right? Yes. I don't think they had as many options as you think. If the time barrier versus an elite opponent such as Ohio State which is a great whiteout game, by the way. If a noon start for that is a barrier, then yeah, they got it right, Jimmy.
Well, the thing is, Andy, there were no right answers to this one. And you say that the Penn State fan base is confusing on it. Well, it's not that it's confused. It's people have a little bit different take. The ultimate would be toughest home game, have it at night. That's Ohio State. Fox essentially puts the kibosh on that by saying it's going to be a noon game. The other part to this, and, you know, I'm a broken record on this, Andy. I say it over and over and over again. Where is the Big Ten conference in scheduling? The whiteout is a special game. It should be at night. Why are they not demanding it, making it so? That is the problem. That's the source of the problem, Andy. The way they designed the schedule, or like I said, for years and years, Andy, they had no problem telling ESPN, Michigan, Ohio State, sorry, it's at noon. Oh, ESPN, you want it at night? Sorry, it's at noon. So, they demanded that. They could do that with Penn State, whoever it is, Michigan, Ohio State, Oregon, whoever. They've chosen not to, Andy. They've chosen not to.
I completely disagree with you, Jimmy. I think they choose not to. They only put one game, Michigan and Ohio State. They put that game, and the Big Ten makes that choice, right? Like the choice that you're talking
right.
about.
Yeah, Andy, stop right there. You're exactly right. They make the choice.
Right.
The conference has made that choice, which says they have the power to do that.
Correct. I think Michigan and Ohio State have earned that. I don't think Penn State's even close to earning that from the conference. That's my where I disagree with you. I don't think Penn State's earned that. Then, hey, here's your schedule. It's a you problem, Penn State. You figure out which game you want to do. That's your decision. I don't think they've earned the conference saying, which game, Penn State, do you want to be your whiteout and we'll make it work for you? I don't think they've earned that. I really don't. I genuinely believe that they have not earned that. Whereas I think Michigan versus Ohio State and those two programs, I think they've earned that from the conference. That's just, I just don't think Penn State's earned that. I think it's a Penn State problem, not a Big Ten problem. That's just me, and we're going to disagree.
We are, Andy, because you're just plain wrong. Yeah, they're wrong. Because Michigan and Ohio State were not every year what they've been the last several years, which has been the two best teams in the country. In the conference. Remember, it was just a couple years ago, Michigan was even lagging behind Penn State.
Correct.
It was more so, but the Big Ten has established for a special game, they are willing to mandate when a game is played. They mandated last game of the season. They mandated as noon. They have zero problem doing that, Andy. And if they want to get away from, remember for years, it's the Big Two and Little Eight was the way the Big Ten was described. They spent years and years and years accommodating just two teams, Andy, two teams. Now, here's an opportunity. The whiteout is a special game. You know, how many games are there throughout the country that have that special title? You know, there's the Red River rivalry now as opposed to Red River shootout. There's a couple games like that that are special and unique. You say whiteout to anybody throughout the country, they know exactly what you're talking about, Andy. And people show up to watch it on TV specifically because it's a whiteout. To me, that's what's earned the right to mandate it, for the conference to say, look, this is the way it's going to be. Now, you have Penn State trying to figure out, they have to live with the fact that the Big Ten is not doing that for them. So the question came down to Ohio State at noon or another game in the evening. And by the way, just to point out, they have the November 9th is the date of the Washington game. And it seems like more likely to be a 3:30 start. Daylight savings time ends that week. So you will actually have sundown in State College at 5 o'clock on that day, Andy. So halftime at the latest, the sun will be down.
Yeah, it's the night thing. There's not a rivalry associated with this game. There isn't. It's a Penn State thing. It's just a real – don't get me wrong. I think it is one of the, if not the coolest single game in sports. And Penn State and their fans and the program deserve a lot of credit for it. But it's not a inherent rivalry game. It's a Penn State thing. So
why does it have to be a rivalry game? It's a big game. And the fact is, Andy, you know, I've been to the whiteout games over the last couple of years when it's been Iowa, where Iowa I think of as kind of a rival and a decent team, and Penn State just spanked them that night.
Yep.
But if you think of this as for the fans and for Penn Staters, the atmosphere, Andy, even though it wasn't Ohio State or Michigan, whether it was Iowa, Minnesota, Auburn, the atmosphere was crazy. It was insane.
Correct.
So I don't think it has to be one of those two teams, Michigan or Ohio State, for the whiteout to be special. I just, again, will always say, shame on the Big Ten for not accommodating it.
We disagree. We can agree to 100% disagree because I don't think the conference owes Penn State squad douche when it comes to their whiteout game. I really don't think they need to make a special accommodation for them. They put Ohio State's a home game. Okay, Fox, hello, money. Took the game and put it at noon. Penn State, you want to make that your whiteout game? That's your choice.
Well, Andy, when we come back, we're going to follow up on some of the other things that they're going to do. They have a stripe-out game. They have the helmet stripe game. They have homecoming game. And I think that's what they're going to use, you know, to accommodate these other games, especially the Ohio State game. But I'll still go by, it's Ohio State. The crowd atmosphere is going to be intense no matter what time you play the game. So I'm not saying that the whiteout wouldn't matter, that I wouldn't like it against Ohio State at night. I'm just saying the crowd's going to be crazy anyway. We'll pick this up when we come back for quarter two.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. He's Andy. I'm Jim. We settled our differences between segments. We got into a little bit of a fist fight. Just a hint. I kicked his butt again, just like I did when we debated the point. Physically, I just kicked his butt, just in case you wanted to know.
Wrong.
Actually, for those of you who know us, you know what kind of shape Andy is in versus me. I would never get in a physical battle with Andy. I know.
Jimmy, we're too old for that. We both wreck ourselves. That would be self-destruction. We're too old for that. We're like, we could barely verbally squabble.
Throwing a punch would probably throw out our shoulder. So yes, we keep the arguments just verbal. That's it. That's as far as we will go. All right, Andy, we were talking about the whiteout, and the question was, did Penn State get it right with Washington. And where I was headed with this is they do have designated a couple other games. Ohio State, they made the helmet strike game, which, by the way, again, it is a whiteout in everything but name. Whoever came up with that is the smartest guy. I don't compliment Penn State administrative people very often. Whoever came up with that idea, Andy, is the smartest guy in the room.
Yeah, because they opened up a second option. It's not the whiteout, but for this year, that game, you add Ohio State into the mix. It's two whiteout games. It's Washington and Ohio State. The official one is Washington, but really it's both games. It really is.
Yes, and which kind of leads to the conversation, which has been brought up for years. Gee, can't they have more than one whiteout in a season? Initially, they tried to do the stripe out, you know, the blue-white alternating as the alternative to the whiteout. Hard. Not quite the same. The blue stripe, blue helmet stripe one comes the closest. And the question is, why is it that they only do one whiteout? Some have said, and there's a good point to this, I believe, you only do it once a year for the scarcity of it. You make it special. You make it unique. I had one of our good listeners sent me a note because this conversation came up where he said Penn State legally could only use the whiteout trademark once a year.
Yep.
And I never had heard that before. I tried to confirm it looking it up. And I didn't look that hard, to be quite honest with you, Andy. Yes. So
plus, Jimmy, two versions of the same thing it's never better than the original, right? So you're oversaturating your market. They just literally came up with something different, and the helmet stripe with everything else white lands on it as good as they can be. That's as close as you can get.
Exactly. Congratulations to the university for coming up with that idea. I think it was an excellent idea. Just a couple other things. I mentioned the stripe out. They're going to do that for the UCLA game. I'm not particularly impressed by that. I think it's tougher to get people by section. It's just not the same, Andy. Yeah. It's okay. Not the same.
Not the same.
The Illinois game is the homecoming game. It's in September. I don't know if all of our fans or even many of the fans still hold a grudge towards Illinois because of what they did a dozen years ago when they showed up on campus recruiting Penn State players when it was the crazy free agency at that point. I still carry the grudge, though, Andy. So I want to see Illinois get spanked. But that has another great thing going on. They have the throwback uniforms are going to be used on that for that game, Andy.
Yeah, first of all, hashtag grumpy old man, hashtag get off my lawn to holding the grudge. And it makes perfect sense. And I'm not sure that's generally helped, but the throwback uniform, it was something I'm like, when is the throwback game? Are they doing it for the uniforms? Because, yeah, I think the whiteout is one of the top two or three games, if not number one, every year, the atmosphere that Penn State creates. But in my opinion, also Penn State, nobody does a better throwback uniform combination than Penn State. Nobody does it better. You see different uniform combinations throughout the year. Penn State does less because there's not a third option per se, but, the throwback one is nobody does it better. It's just simply dead solid perfect on every front, including the white cleats, which, you know, just the whole thing, head to toe, the helmet, the details, the striping, the color, it's the way it sets up. It's as good as it gets is their throwback uniform. And I think Penn State fans, because they have a loyal and, you know, what I would say a long legendary fan base. So, in other words, there's a lot of more life season people in the crowd, per se, than in general stadiums. They have a great fan base. And they appreciate that. It's really important to them. And I think Penn State does it the best.
Let me ask you this. With the uniform, is it the best because the throwback uniforms are the best, or is it the best because their uniforms are so plain, ordinary, that's what they do? So any tweaks to it and doing it just once a year for this special game makes it so special.
Yeah, they're a Hershey bar. That's their uniform. To me, they're like a Hershey bar, right? Like, what are you going to have? I'm going to have a Hershey bar. It doesn't change. It's a Hershey bar every single time. There's nothing different about it. That can be boring, but if you really like a Hershey bar, that's a good thing, right? So their throwback is so unique. The color combinations are the same, Jimmy. So it's not about what they do. It's the devil in the details and the way it looks different. But yet, if you dropped it in 1971 or 1967 or 1978, you know, 1982, it would fit. So that's hard to do, I think, when you're a Hershey bar. So they do it dead solid perfect. And I think Penn State fans appreciate their sort of, you know, simplicity of their Hershey bar week after week, white on the road, blue and white home. It's just, it's never going to change. And that's not a bad thing. So that makes that gives them a little advantage on the throwback front, but it doesn't give them enough advantage to take it to the level that they've taken it to. It's taken some work to get, it took something to get there. And it is from the first one. I was like, oh, this is so well done. And it's not dropped one little bit. It's so well done.
I really love the throwback uniforms, but it leads me to this question. Two questions for you on the throwback, different kind of uniforms. And I know it's different on the road, but maybe for a bowl game. Would you ever like to see them do some kind of throwback uniforms with the all whites, with the road uniforms?
I probably not, because how can you make that look different? There's nothing that stands out.
Oh yeah, you put the stripe on the pants, yeah. You put the number on the helmet, you wear the white. How about the white spikes with the all white uniform?
Maybe. I don't see it as – I think you need a little color to make it a third. I think I'd like to see them design a third option that is a little more modern for the players. I really would. One game.
I always thought that they should do that the same way.
Yeah.
For one game, go crazy with the uniforms, crazy modern, then auction off the jerseys, you know. Yeah. Make it a fundraiser. I think Nike would love to design something special. If you're a baseball fan, you see that they do that. They, you know, like they call them City Connect.
Right.
And you can do almost anything. And some of them are crazy. There's some hits and some misses with it, Andy.
Correct.
But
correct.
Some of them are very cool.
Some of them are very cool. I think they would do a cool uniform, but for the Penn State fan base and Penn State football fans, that's like getting a Hershey bar with almonds. They don't want a Hershey bar with almonds. They just want their Hershey bar. So there's no need to do it.
Well, see, I think you could do it for one game without spoiling the culture and the legacy.
I agree.
How about this for the idea for the special uniforms, Andy? How about you throw back way back for the colors? You do a pink and black uniform. We've already seen that, like with the women's basketball team has worn pink. Now I think they do it with the breast cancer awareness.
Correct.
Yeah, I may be wrong on that, but I think that's
correct.
What it is.
You're correct.
But you do. How about doing a pink and black uniform?
I want nothing pink in a football uniform. I know sometimes referees do pink flags in support of breast cancer awareness, and it just looks weird. I'm not a fan of black and something else other than pink. I'm game. I think black and white could look good. You know, what's in a scenario, but something different, more modern. I think it would help on many fronts for them, but they're just not willing to do it. And I understand that, but I wish they would give it a lash.
I do too. I think it's just one game, Andy, and you know, they're looking for revenues everywhere. I get it. I understand You walk into a room anywhere where there's a television on and a football game on, you see the Penn State uniform, you instantly know who it is. Instantly.
Yep.
And there are some uniforms like that. Texas, you know, with the orange, the burnt orange, you know it's Texas.
Clemson in purple.
Clemson, exactly. Oh, Clemson in purple. Yes.
Yeah.
Although even Clemson in orange, you know it's them.
Correct.
You know, give Alabama credit, similar to Penn State. I mean, their uniforms are iconic, simple, straightforward. That's what they do. Even Georgia, Ohio State. I know we don't like Ohio State.
Oh, that
we don't like Michigan.
Awful though. That steel uniform is awful.
But their standard uniforms are really good and recognizable immediately.
They are. Andy. They are. Yes, sir. Yeah, I agree.
I don't like Michigan's uniforms, and I don't like anything to do with Michigan. But again, if you glance at a television and Michigan's playing, you instantly know it's that.
You know it's maize and blue. Yeah, you know right away. And I don't know if it's their helmets or the color scheme. I don't know which one grabs your attention more.
It's both. So you walk past the television, you see it, you say, oh my goodness, it's either Michigan or Delaware that's playing, Andy. All right, that is it for quarter number two. When we come back, quarter three, and it's your questions, and we're going to ask Andy. Stay tuned for that.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. We all know what that means, Andy. It's time for you to answer questions. We've got Ask Andy. This is where our listeners could send in a question. If you want to send in your question for Andy, real simple. Just download the app, Keystone Sports. You see the Ask Andy button, and away you go. One of our regular questioners is Matt from Massachusetts. Timely question here, Andy. Timely. Matt says, Jim and Andy, in your opinion, what was the greatest whiteout game of all time? He suggests versus Michigan 2012. I think he actually means 2013, which was the four overtime game with Michigan, which was a spectacular game, Andy. Absolutely spectacular. What do you have for the best whiteout game?
Yeah, so I kind of didn't fully – you just kind of knew it as a promotional. Like, I don't think the whiteout really hit my radar until, like, 2010. When they crushed Michigan and the place was crazy, and they had it for like 5 or 6 years before that. So what is my top one for football theater and for football? Like, oh my God. Oh my God. There were like three, oh my gosh, moments in the 2013 Penn State Michigan game, 43-40, four overtimes. Allen Robinson, the catch, you know, the drive to get to overtime was, it just set the table for what you thought, that just set the table for what was about to unfold. But the drive to get to overtime by Penn State was incredible. And that becomes lost in this game a little bit sometimes because the overtime was so next level. That one, it for me, just both football teams in the zone, right? Both teams in the zone. Just that last fourth quarter in those overtimes, both four teams were, as great Bobby Jones used to say, in the field. They were lost in the field. They were in the zone. And it was just incredible to watch those two teams play like that. The for Penn State fans, it's, I mean, Grant Haley blocking it, the win over Ohio State, because they happen so infrequently. 2016 has to be part of the conversation, right? Because Penn State doesn't beat Ohio State. So they beat them. Wow. And the way it happened, I mean, you know, is he going to make it? Is he not going to make it? Is the kicker going to catch him? Are you kidding me? The kicker's going to catch a defensive back? Really? Hold on, he might make it. It was just, it was incredible. So that one, those are 1-2 for me. And I would put third, and this is where I'll stop. I think the 2019 Michigan 28-21 game was a really good football game. That was just a memorable football game for many reasons. The ebb and flow and the way the two teams pushed back against each other was fun to watch. And I thought that atmosphere really was, that might have been the atmosphere to end all atmospheres from the jump, like from the beginning. That thing was ludicrous from the beginning. So those would be three for me, Jimmy.
Well, I'll give you my thoughts. I have two out of year three I have on the list, but I think the whiteout is about the Penn State fan base. So I'm going to give you my moments as a fan. The 2013 four overtime game, I remember being with some people. Some people left early of our group, went back to the tailgate before the end of the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Wow. And I remember they had to sit there and wait because there were four overtimes. And I actually believe the fan base was drained, because there's so much emotion into a whiteout game, then for it to go overtime and a second overtime and a third and a fourth, it was just such a release when the game finally ended. Just absolutely crazy. The other one, the 2016 Ohio State game, which had the most meaning to it. I remember I'm with my brother for that game, Andy, and Penn State was down, I think, at least a couple scores in the third quarter. But I had this conversation with my brother that, you know what, I'm not disappointed, because I thought Penn State was matching up really well with Ohio State. They were playing well with them. And a lot of people talk about, oh, it took this bizarre block punt special play for Penn State to win. But remember, early on, Ohio State had those kind of scores, okay? Right. So it kind of leveled off. But prior to it happening for Penn State, I was just happy with the way Penn State performed. Even if, as I said, well, even if they're going to lose, I'm happy with how they perform. When they actually came back and won, it was just insanity. And the last game I'm going to bring up, Andy, is 2017 versus Michigan. And it was a blowout. It was 42-13. That was the game. Barkley took the direct snap and had about the 70-yard run. The second play from scrimmage. And a lot of times games like this, it's about moments.
Correct.
And when you have that lead up, that build up to a whiteout game, the fan base right before the game starts, the players come onto the field, that feeling they have for it, that whole insanity, and then to have Barkley just put it over the top with that run, just nothing like that. And if you get a chance, okay, and I'm saying this to our listeners, Andy, go back. You can find it on YouTube. Just search 2017 Michigan Barkley run. You could find it. Go back and watch the run. But I don't want you to watch Barkley. I want you to watch the offensive line. trust me, it's worth it. It's so interesting what they did. They were like pulling right, four out of the five. The left tackle went up. You have to watch it to appreciate it. Please, please do. It was spectacular. All right, Andy, let's get to another question. Yeah. Now that we're more than halfway through the through the segment. Let's go to Dave in State College, who says, since Penn State NIL seems to not be competitive with the elite teams, do you think they could appeal to donors by having them sponsor helmets, kind of like they do with endowments for scholarships? Corporations could sponsor a position such as the Gorilla Glue Receiver, which I love that. That's a great idea there, Dave. The money would go directly to the players to help with giving a bigger bag to recruits and current players.
Yeah, there's now probably becoming with the, with the on-field and sort of the marketing openings available to universities and where NIL's at still in these wild, wild west, sort of developing years. There's a lot of marketing ideas that are coming around about different ways that you can put money in different pockets, right? Like what goes in the university pocket, what can go in the player pool. I don't really have a good answer, Dave, in State College, to be honest with you. I'm not sure how you navigate the line between the two.
Andy, I love the creativity. You have to be careful of is, I think what he's saying about sponsoring the helmet, like if it were Gorilla Glue for the receivers, they would have one logo on their helmet and another position might have another. That probably is not going to happen. But I think Dave's idea of being creative with it, and I absolutely love Gorilla Glue for the wide receivers, although – you know, the jokes almost write themselves whenever you have a drop by the wide receivers. But those are the creative things that I'd like to see more of from the Penn State collective. I know they're trying a lot of different things, but creativity should be part of that.
One last thing I want to say, I think there's the short term and there's long term, right? You have to look at this that way. Some programs are looking at it now, right? Like, how do we grab this now? And I don't get the feeling, I think Penn State is more looking to build something that is sustainable. They're looking at things that are sustainable long-term. And I think that's a better option, but they're missing out on the now a little bit.
Be careful, Andy. We've got to make sure we differentiate between money raised by and for the university versus NIL for the players.
Correct.
Theoretically, NIL is completely separate and independent of the university.
It is.
Even if the universities are going to coordinate kind of thing, it's ABC company doing something with Drew Aller, that's independent. The university, like putting naming rights of the field, that money goes to the university, to say maybe build a renovation to the stadium. All right, let's go to Dan in Bell Vernon, who says, Jim and Andy, love your show, and I listen faithfully every week. Fridays can't come quickly enough. I should just stop right there, Andy.
Thank you, Dan.
I would enjoy, and I believe many other Nittany Lion football diehards like me would also enjoy your analysis of our coaching staff. May I suggest your rankings of all the position coaches from strongest to weakest based on the following factors: recruiting prowess, player development, value delivered, potential for advancement, and loyalty. Andy, obviously we don't have a chance to do it. Maybe we'll do that next week. Real quick, though, in the last minute we have, who's the best position coach?
Terry Smith. Second, not even close. It's Terry Smith, and he checks every one of the boxes that Dan asked about. Terry Smith checks them in spades. It's Terry Smith.
That's a great choice. What I think is interesting, Andy, is you could look around at multiple positions and say that. I think you can look at tight end and say, boy, he's done a pretty good job here. You can look at running back and say, boy, he's done a good job here. Offensive line coach, offensive line, so important, Andy. And you've got a whole group. From where it was when he took over to where it is today, Andy, got to give Troutwine credit. Really, really improved that group. So what do you think, Andy? You want to do that next week?
Absolutely. I like the idea. Absolutely.
All right. there you go, Dan. Instead of just getting your answer question, you'll get a whole segment or two next week. All right, that's it for Ask Andy. Stay tuned. We've got more to go in quarter four.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Andy. I'm Jim. We're talking Penn State football. Fun show today, Andy. We were talking whiteout and other themes, helmet stripe game. All that was announced this week. We also did our Ask Andy. Kudos to the questioners today. We got through only three questions, which Andy, I always say, if we don't get through many questions, it means they were good questions because we had a lot to say about them. For this fourth quarter, Andy, something very different I want to talk to you about. Someone put out an article, and I love these kind of things with the lists. I know you do too. It's a fun topic. He put out top 10 teams 5 years from now. So it's projecting which programs are designed to get you, get them to that point in 5 years. Before he did the top 10, he did a best of the rest, which included Penn State. And then I'll run through it real quick, starting with number 10 down to 1, Notre Dame, Nebraska, Florida State, Alabama, Oklahoma, USC, Georgia, Oregon, Texas, and Ohio State. A lot of familiar names, though. But, Andy, let's start with Penn State being the best of the rest on the outside of the top 10. And it seemed to be just that typical, gee, James Franklin can't break through. It's a 10-2 team, a 10-2 program.
Right. No, it's, I agree. It's, you have to be more than a one-hit wonder. They were a 2016 one-hit wonder, right? There was a real opportunity in 2017. Real. That was a pretty solid football team, top to bottom. Didn't break through. There was an opportunity in 2023. That team had as much talent as, if not as much talent as James Franklin has ever had as Penn State head coach. Didn't break through. So it's not like there's five things to look at when it comes to the Penn State program and under James and why they are on, you know, here. And I say, I agree, whether they're outside the top 10, it's pretty much one thing. And it's not really up for much debate, Jimmy. It's pretty crystal clear that they can't win those next level games when the talent composition is more equal. That's why they're outside.
And they have an opportunity now with the expanded playoffs and being rid of the divisions. They don't automatically have to play Michigan and Ohio State every year. So will that narrative change? It'll be interesting to see. But the one other thing is, yes, the last couple of years, it's been losses to both Ohio State and Michigan. But I want to point out, there were a couple of years there, Penn State was the better team than Michigan, but they would stub their toe against somebody else. The losses to Michigan State, the loss to Pitt, that was inexcusable. They had last year 10-2. They won all the games they were supposed to. They didn't lose one of those crazy ones. Andy, let's
last
keep
thing
going.
I want to say about Penn State, they don't lose many games they shouldn't anymore. They don't.
Right. That's what I'm saying. They didn't do that last year, but they still lost the big games. It'll be interesting to see if they win all the games they supposed to. They should. They would be 11-1 this coming year, which I think everyone would be happy about. Let's see if that happens. All right, let's look at this top 10 list, Andy. Sure. What sticks out to you? Let's start with the top. Did they get it right with Ohio State being number one?
I would rather see them at number one after this year, and let's see what happens in 2024. But in terms of the way they've set themselves up, you have to put them number one, I think. But Ryan Day has a James Franklin type problem. There's no other way to put it. And he's either going to lose the job and not be Ohio State's head coach, or he's going to break through. And it's got to happen. This year is it. I think this year is it, Jimmy. I really do. So this guy's back, and I don't disagree with him, because, my gosh, they have so much. They're so good. They have to. And if he does in 5 years, he's right. It's a good call.
Well, I'm going to look at it a little different, because I think it's hard to separate one team. But I think going through his top four, which is Ohio State, Texas, Oregon, and Georgia, I'm solid with Ohio State, Oregon, I think with Dan Lanning there, and Phil Knight's money. And you look at their – look at the last two recruiting years. They were fourth last year, fifth this year. Each year, 14 four-star or above out of 21 players, or 14 out of 16 in this year's coming recruiting class. They are set up to succeed. Georgia is Georgia and shows no sign of falling back to the pack. Texas, boy, we saw what they did last year. Could they be? Yeah, but man, let me see them after and they've got the much easier schedule than say Oklahoma does, but they still have to play Oklahoma, Georgia, Texas A&M, not to mention Michigan, out of conference. And that's going to be every year playing a Southeast Conference schedule. Come back to me in a few years. I'm wondering, I want to get your take. Number five after that first group, five and six, USC and Oklahoma. I'm not sold on either one of those, Andy, so I'm curious what you think.
So when it comes to USC, in so many ways, right, I have a pretty simple line. Lincoln Riley fits in L.A. and at USC on many, many fronts and has the ability to check many, many boxes that for USC. Does L.A. and USC end up fitting Lincoln Riley? That is my question. Do you know what I mean? Like, Lincoln Riley fits in L.A., but does L.A. end up fitting Lincoln Riley? I'm not sure yet. So this is year three. This is moving year for him. I think he's got to move.
Let's, Andy, look at some of the numbers. Obviously, he had a Heisman Trophy winner, and last year he lost five games with them.
Yep.
But here's the indicator. I think we all thought Lincoln Riley, high-powered offense, put him in the middle of Southern California for recruiting. Oh, my God, he'll be incredible. In 2024, his recruiting class was ranked 20th.
Yeah.
And fewer than half of his recruits were blue chippers, which means four or five stars. This year, coming up, the 2025 recruiting class currently ranks 25th, Andy.
Right.
And sometimes you say, well, maybe it's a quantity thing. They don't have the numbers. They have 14 players, but quality, only five of the 14 are blue chip recruits.
Right.
So that's back-to-back years, Andy. We're not seeing Lincoln Riley dominate, and he's not dominating Southern California. What do you think of Oklahoma there at number six?
Yeah.
Boy, I don't think we've seen it yet, and they got a crazy tough schedule in the Southeast Conference this year.
They have a crazy tough schedule. I think there was a lot of what – I think Brent Venables had to do a lot of structural rebuilding inside of Oklahoma that really wasn't as obvious as you might have thought. And I think he's a really, really good coach. So I know they have a tough schedule this year, but I think him and Oklahoma are in for a long haul on how they're doing this. And I really think they are kind of just getting started. So I understand it. I like it. I liked the pick. I liked where he put them because, and what he wrote, we see them the same way. I really think they're kind of just getting started. And I don't think, you know, they have a tough schedule. And I don't think if they lose 3-4 games and maybe even miss the playoffs, that that's going to affect his stature there, because they're not building for now yet. I really don't think they're building for now.
They have, they've extended his contract already, right, which shows their confidence in him. I think what they wanted to do was beat to the punch because of fearful of how this season will turn out, and don't want to give him a contract extension after a 3 or 4 loss season. Alabama at number 7, I'm just going to say it's still Alabama.
Yeah, gotta give Kalen a couple years. Let him do it. He's good.
I then 8, 9, and 10, Andy. Florida State, Nebraska, Notre Dame. Boy, I'm not sure about any of the three.
Yeah, why does Florida State under Norvell feel like a one-hit wonder from last year? I mean, it was a little bit of a house of cards built on winning, right? An opportunity at the next level. And I think they are walking the fine line between being in the nice level desert and being on the edge of going over the cliff. I need to see more from Florida State. Obviously, Nebraska's the reach. Matt Rhule is a rebuilding magician when it comes to college football. He's never had the resources that Nebraska has in his previous opportunities. This one's a reach. That's all it is. It's all about Matt Rhule. And I think you're going to get if they're going to be there in 5 years, they're winning 8 or 9 games this year, Jimmy. That's what I'll tell you is the first indicator. And I'll jump off real quick with Notre Dame. I think they could be top 5. They're a sleeping giant, in my book. They're very quiet. You don't hear a lot about Notre Dame and what they're doing. I just think Coach Freeman's, they're not in a conference, so they're not part of any of the craziness and discussion, generally speaking, about as they're built to power conferences per se. So they just feel like they're just kind of quietly building a monster. That's just my opinion, but I think in 5 years, there is an opportunity with the way Freeman's going about it and the way he's doing it. I see them more likely as a top 5 than at number 10.
I'm with you on Florida State, Nebraska. I do think that was the reach one.
Right.
And still, can Nebraska recruit to Nebraska? And that might be, do they have the NIL? I hate to say it, but do they have the NIL to overcome everything else? Notre Dame, there just seems to be, I don't know enough about Marcus Freeman, but it just seems like he's always being given the benefit of the doubt. I know the first year he lost some games that he shouldn't have. Yep. I know Notre Dame still has some issues. Their academic requirements. Correct. Have they eased up on those to help them out? Andy, I'm not as confident as you. I'm thinking more number 10 is more appropriate as opposed to top 5. All right, Andy, that's going to have to be the last word. That is it for our show. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.